Chapter number 4. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews is a fascinating book. Spent a lot of thoughts and opinions who the writer was. But we know ultimately who the writer was. I guess it's just in our opinion of who that he used. I'm glad God uses men, women, boys, and girls. One man got saved and he found himself asking God to do great things for him. He grew in the Lord, then he got to asking God to let him do great things for God. He walked with the Lord a few more years, and then he said he found out that God is wanting to do something through him. And that ought to be our heart and our life here this morning. I believe there are many people that are saved, but there's few disciples. Disciple comes from a Greek root word of discipline. Here, the Hebrew writer, he's writing to a group that's come out from under the law. All they've known is Judaism. They've known about the shedding of blood of bulls and goats, which can never take away sin. But he says this in his writing, Hebrews 4 and 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it." I'm glad I'm resting in Christ this morning. You may be seated. I sure am glad I'm not resting in what I can do. As Brother Randy taught this morning in such a great way, it don't take you long to figure out that we can't do much within ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. He's writing to a group or to a congregation, and he's saying, you need to enter into the rest. I'm glad I'm resting in Christ. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them. As Brother Felton had said, you need to get a hold of verse 2 because this is an amazing passage. But the word preached did not profit them. You know why? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. I'm glad the Bible says that God has given man, every man, a measure of faith. And here, when the gospel was preached, the writer's saying that faith reached in and accessed that of the gospel. And it brought them rest in Jesus. For we which have believed do enter into a rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, even they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There's something that keeps us walking with God. There's something that keeps us going in His direction. In verse 12 he says, for the Word of God is. I'm glad, first of all, I've got a copy of it. Secondly, I'm glad he tells us what it is. He says it's quick. That word means alive. I'm glad I don't have a dead Bible. I'm glad I've got a gospel that's very much alive. I'm glad I've got a gospel not only that touches me, but it talks to me. Aren't you glad in the writing of the Word of God it's not like any other book? The Bible said that it is quick, or it is alive. It is so alive. I'm going to tell you how alive it is, because it cuts my heart, and it cuts your heart. He says not only is it alive being quick, But he said, I want you to know that it is powerful. You know, we would have no assembly this morning if we didn't have the Word of God. If we didn't have the living Word of God, it'd be no reason to come today. But I'm glad that this Word of God is alive. It's doing things in my life. It ought to be doing things in your life every day. The Bible said that it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, this Word, it cuts down deep. We need it. We need a man preaching the Word of God in the power of the power of God. He said this Word of God is quick, it's alive. Has it ever come alive to you? The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Boy, used to coming up, the Bible was just another book, but the day I got saved, it became the book. It is very much alive. It talks to me. It convicts me when I do wrong. It consoles me when I'm down. And boy, it comforts me when I'm depressed. I sure am glad the Word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Peter found out soon that his sword could cut off ears, but he soon found that this sword, the Word of God, could convert multitudes. Boy, he says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Man is a triune man. He's made up of the body, the flesh. He has a soul of there where he is as conscious of the things that's going on. Then the spirit, that is whereby we can worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm glad one day the Bible come to me, cut down into my heart, and glad I was born again by the grace of God. Now I have a soul that is sealed, but also have a spirit that can communicate to God. For we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Doesn't matter what's in the closet. Don't matter what's under the bed or that's in the pantry. Doesn't matter what's in our pocket or what's in our heart. God says all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He says in verse 14 now, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I'm glad not only do I have a profession, thank God I've got a possession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, we love You today. We thank You for the Spirit of God. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that we have this morning. I pray now You'd let preaching be easy. I've, Lord, tried to study and apply my time that's right. Lord, not sure where I'm to go this morning, but I pray You'd fill me with Your presence. God, would You use me in spite of who I am? Forgive me of my sins, God, my wickedness, my faults. God, I pray that You'd let preaching come upon me this morning. Let us be an encouragement to the people's heart today. Let us be a blessing. I pray for all of our preacher friends that are standing today. Help them. I pray You'd help me. I'm a needy preacher this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach today on our priceless privileges. Our priceless privileges. I'm glad I've got a copy of the Word of God. It's just not some old book, but as I've already said, I'm glad that it's a copy of the living Word of God. Boy, this Bible's so alive, it's got into my heart, and it continually talks with me. It touches me. I love what it's done for me in my life. So, one of our great privileges is that we have a copy of the Word of God. I believe the King James Bible is the Bible for our day. As the translators, as they translated
out of the original Greek and Hebrew Bible to the English speaking people, there King James brought a group of men together. And I believe that this Word of God has been preserved for this generation. We don't need a new Bible. We just need to live out of the one that God wrote. There's a lot of men trying to soft soap the situation. But honey, it's still the book that gets things moving. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You say, Pastor, well, my faith is weak. Well, if you'll quit listening to that stereotype gospel, and if you'll quit listening to the songs of the world and get in the Word of God, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Boy, we need more preaching this day and hour than we've ever needed in all of our life. Boy, we need preaching of the Word of God. We don't need entertainment, but we need preaching. Every time we get together, we ought to be thanking God, what will you have to say to me out of the Word of God this morning? God, what will you say through your mouthpiece this morning? Well, I'm going to tell you, every word in this book is inspired, it's infallible, and it's inerrant. I'm going to tell you, it will do to live by, and it will also do to leave by. I'm glad I'm saved by God's amazing grace. Thank God He loved me when I was very unlovable. I'm glad He loved me when I knew nothing about Him. We love Him because He first loved us. I'm glad He didn't let a Felton Buchanan die and go to hell. I'm glad He didn't let a Gerald Rollins die and go to hell. I'm glad He didn't let a Ken Bowman die and go to hell in his sin. He ought to let a David Shaddix go to hell in his sin. And a Tim Howe ought to let him go to hell in his sin. But God come by and gave us the gospel of the grace of God and has saved us and purged us from this whole world and give us the Holy Ghost in our heart. Now we can't do as we used to do very long. Oh, I'm glad He saved me. I'm glad He took the Word of God and found me with the Word of God. Now that He's found us, we have a divine favor. You'll notice in these three verses that I want to deal with, you'll notice the people of the Word. The Bible says in verse number 14, seeing then that we have. Oh, I'm glad that we have. Then He said in verse 14, He couldn't get over it, for we have. Then He said in verse 16, let us. Talking about the church. The called out ones, the born again by His amazing grace. He talks about the people we have and let us. Then in verse 14, not only is He talking about a people, He's talking about a person. You see, He said this, for we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Now, I'm glad we've got somebody on the right-hand side of God that means something to God. I've noticed this. A lot of times people said, well, if you have a lot of money, you can get anything. That ain't right. If you know the right person, you can get anything. And did you know I could be a pauper and go to the governor and ask the governor something if I'm his child? It wouldn't matter if I had no money or not. He would do it for me because of divine favor that I was in the family. Now I want to tell you, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He can do something great for me and great for you because He's in the family. And because He's in the family, I got in the family. I'm glad one day He invited me to get into His family. And He come by and knocked on the doors of my heart with the gospel of the preached Word of God. And I'm glad that faith accessed grace and He saved me from hell. And now I'm in this class, for we have. I'm glad we have something. I'm glad we have a throne that's filled with grace, filled with mercy, and filled with compassion. I want to say, as little Braden sung this morning, I'm glad he made a way for us. He made an access. In Hebrews chapter number 7, now remember who he's writing to. He's writing to a group of Christians that's come out of Judaism. They know nothing much about the grace of God, but they've trusted Him by faith. Now he's ironing this down. I wish the Roman Catholic Church could get a hold of this gospel. It'd change their Pope's attitude about things. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, who? The Christ man, the God man. Because he continueth ever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. I'm glad he's not hot today or cold tomorrow. I'm glad he ain't going to die tomorrow, and I'm going to wonder, is he going to live to take my place? The Bible says, wherefore he is able, watch this now, also to save them to the uttermost. I like what the old preacher said. Yes, sir. And he can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been a-doing it. There's a God of heaven that died for you. And I'm glad it's still by the blood this morning. Now, you'll have to excuse me, but I'll not apologize what I'm fixing to tell you today. I was preaching in a church Wednesday night. And there was a professing homosexual. Had been that way for 21 years. He was dressed in a dress, long hair to his waist, and the gospel was preached. And guess what? To the uttermost. He come to the service after service. He told the preacher, God was a-talking to me tonight. God was a-moving in me. Guess what he done? He went and got his hair cut off. He had a yard sale Friday. Sold all of his girls' clothes. Went down the mall and bought him some men's clothes. And he didn't buy no skinny jeans. Somebody say amen right there. And he come down to the preacher's house. And he said, I want you to know, I'm tired of that wicked lifestyle I was living. I'm going to live for God by His amazing grace and His wonderful mercy. I'm glad, friend, it don't matter what our sin is, whether it's the sin of drunkenness or the sin of adultery or the sin of fornication or the sin of homosexuality, the blood of Jesus can wash us clean this morning. Me and Miss Renee looked out, and you ought to have seen how pitiful he felt. He was weeping. And can I tell you, the sin of homosexuality is no worse than the sin of drunkenness or the sin of gambling or the sin of drug addiction. It's a sin, and it holds people in bondage. But I'm glad the great high priest, he went in the holy place with his blood, and I'm glad he can say to the uttermost, to the guttermost this morning. Where Brother Felton was delivering mail in the trailer park this week, he can save the whole trailer park. Save. See, we done give up on God. We done, as Brother Eric said, prayer's just as big as God is. We the people of God. He's done put us up in our Bible to remind. He said, I want to remind you to keep you in rest. We got the Word of God. Don't want you to get out of there out of bounds too much. Before I left that Sunday, I preached pretty hard, but not near as hard as I'm going to go to preaching. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, God has given us a book to make us beware of the things that's out there. He's given us a Holy Ghost to live in us, that we may walk with Him and have fellowship with Him. And if there's sin in our life, we'll not have fellowship with God. That's the reason some of you can't worship in spirit and truth, because you need your lantern cleaned off. Let your light shine. I'm glad we got the Word of God to be preached to challenge us and change us. But I sure am glad we've got a throne not made of granite, but made of grace. Oh, not made of granite,
but made of grace. Not made of marble, but made of mercy. Oh, not made of marble, but made of great mercy. Not made of stone, but oh, I sure am glad that it's made of sympathy. You say, preacher, does God really love me that way? Oh, He sure does. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You know what? We better watch out in our daily living. We better watch pointing our fingers and saying, well, I couldn't be there. It would amaze y'all where we all could be if we didn't have a Bible-believing church and the saints of God to encourage us and the Spirit of God to convict us. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know something? This young man that was professing this lifestyle, you know what he told his preacher, and some of the holy brethren may disagree with me, but he said, you know something? He said, I got saved back over yonder and turned my life and walked off from God. But he said, this wicked lifestyle I'm living in's got to leave. I'm miserable and I'm done with it tonight. That preacher was pleading and begging I should have went in that altar tonight. But I've come to you, pastor, telling you I'm done with this lifestyle. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something may blow your mind this morning. You better watch. Point your finger. We better realize that that sin is just a doorknob away. And what sin hath conceived, it brings forth death. And it'll hold you in a prison that you thought you could never get in. That young preacher called me. He said, you ain't going to believe what happened today. That he's had a yard sale, sold all of his dresses, and he's bought him some men's clothes, come in my house and had his hair cut off and his hair slicked back. He said, you know, preacher, I'm a barber on the side. I'm going to put him a high and tight on the side of his head. I said, hallelujah. Some of y'all don't think God's that big, do you? Well, ain't that amazing? The Word of God goes out and convicts our heart. It's not going to work if you're reading just a mystery and a rhyme and a poem. It ain't going to work if you got a place full of entertainment. But let me tell you, the gospel's alive and well this morning. And He's still on the throne and He's saving those sinners by the good grace of God. There's a rough boy in that church that just got saved. His boy got saved. His wife was there Wednesday at this meeting. God came in that place in an unusual way Wednesday night. Boy, I looked and God was over there tapping on her shoulder. We give an invitation, Brother Mike, and here she come. Got saved by the grace of God. Why'd you say all that? You asked my wife, one of the biggest reasons I wanted her to go where I preached this last week was two things. One, to see the culture of the people. You think that we've got it. You ought to look the way some of them people are having to live and what they've got. Honey, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to kick your shoes off like Moses. Take a lap around this building today and say, oh God, thank you for how good I've got. God, I got a roof over my head. I got food on my table. My little youngins got shoes to wear. They got clothes on their back. And I'm just going to glorify you. I'm going to praise you and thank you that everything is good as it is. Because God, I know where I could be if it wasn't for the grace of God. And number two, I wanted her to see how hungry those people are for the preaching of the Word of God. I preached over an hour every night. You know what they said the last night of them preaching? About an hour, 10 minutes. Preach on, preacher. Preach on, preacher. We've got so accustomed to our 12 o'clock duty. Come in the way that we've always been and leave out. Nothing has happened. Trying to hurry up and get into a buffet line that we all could miss 2 or 3 weeks and it wouldn't hurt none of us. God's been good to us, church. Boy, that church is alive and doing well. You say, preacher, I don't believe in missions. I wish you could have been with me. You see, our church
has helped this young church get up and get it running. They've took a double wide trailer. He texted me on the way going to Louisiana on Monday. He texted Miss Steeple sitting on the ground. We got up there Monday night, got out, and there's a point, and everybody was just in awe at what God had done on a little double wide trailer with a steeple about that tall. Boy, I walked in and people began to come and the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, do you believe in missions? Before you get on this week, you're going to believe in missions. I'm talking about a boy that ain't got nothing, ain't been showed nothing. All he knows is God's called him to preach and he's got a hunger for the Word of God. He's got a hunger to see God do something with his people. And now the building that he's got is nearly full. I said, unto God, I wish Liberty Baptist Church is sitting here looking at y'all tonight. How grateful. They come around. How you think it looks, Brother Ken? I said, oh, it looks so wonderful to me. I'm glad the Word of God can change things this morning. I'm glad it's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. I mean, it's times, preachers, when we preach and we think nobody's listening. I was in Hartsville, Alabama, Brother Brian Bridges' church. I preached one night. I preached here the other Sunday night. Seemed like I just might as well have been preaching to myself. I guess it's me, but it wasn't you, but I preached on when Jesus cleaned out the temple. There's a little girl, remind me of little Addison, sitting there on the pew. Coloring, got a baby doll in her little arm, just a color. I had no idea she was listening to me, Brother Tim. Meeting closed on Wednesday the next Sunday morning. She run and got her mom and daddy, only 6 years old. Run to the altar and told them she needed to be saved. She got saved. I'm talking about being saved to the uttermost. He can save from a 5 year old. He can save the one that's so far out there in homosexuality that this world has no hope for. But honey, let me tell you, there's nothing too hard for the God of this. There's nothing too hard for the God of this. These Hebrew boys, remember, they're headed to the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, hey boys, you've heard the music. You going to the party? They said, we ain't a going. We staying right here. They said, well, he's going to throw you in the fire. He said, I want you to know. He said, our God able, but if not, said we going on in there anyhow, because we know there's somebody going in there with us. Thank God we got somebody this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad he lives in my heart. That little old child went and got her mom and dad and got saved. There's worried she's too young. When they come to the altar, all you got to do is say, what do you need? They'll tell you if they're going to hell or not. You ain't got to talk them into nothing. Sunday school teachers, you ain't got to pressure no young'uns. God's so big, He can just walk over our Sunday school lessons, push a sinner up in the corner, back the hammers of God's holy gun till you say, hallelujah, I will, amen. They said, did you really get saved when they got home? All worried about it. And it does you good to worry about it. This is what she said. That daddy called me on Monday, told me all that, and this is what she told him. And he said, are you sure he's got saved? He said, yeah. Jesus done to me what that preacher was talking about. He said, he cleaned out my temple. And there's a little child with her baby doll, Brother Jerry. Sitting there with a baby doll in this arm and a crayon, a color book in this arm and that knit color, and had no idea what God was talking to her little heart. I said that to say this morning. He can save to the uttermost, to the guttermost. Some of you never been saved by the grace of God. I know of not of a better day nor time than to get saved than today. I wouldn't be gambling on my soul for eternity, friend. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He gave His blood to save to the uttermost. I want to share this verse and the last verse, and I'm going to close this morning because I believe it'll be impactful to our church. Notice what he said. I fell in love with this verse, Brother Joe. This person, he made access in Hebrews 7, but now go to 1 Timothy chapter 2.
and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look here, who will have all men to be saved and come under the knowledge of the truth. Do you know what God's will for you is this morning? I can tell you what the will of God is for everybody in this building by that verse, that you be saved. That you be saved. Then he says this, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself, look here, I don't know why he did, but he gave himself a ransom or a price. He gave a price for all. You say, preacher, see, this is where people miss it. They say, how can a loving God put me in hell? He don't. You put your own self in hell. He's made a way for you. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He put his son on a cross, give you the measure of faith that you can be saved by grace through faith. Made an access. And because he's made an access to God, he's let me be accepted by God. When he went into God with his blood, paid that ultimate sacrifice, when I grab a hold of him, guess who he's got a hold to? He's a mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I'm glad by faith, listen to me, when I reached out and got a hold of Jesus, he got a hold of God and brought me together to him. He's the mediator, the go-between. Watch this, not only the access and the acceptance, but thank God he's writing to the Hebrew children. He's letting them know you have assistance. You don't have to go through this thing by yourself. And I'm fixing to show you a word that has really helped my life. Back to the text in Hebrews chapter number 4. Not only has he made access and made a way of acceptance, but he has assistance. And look what he says. He says, seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now I'm trying to close. Hang on to me 5 minutes, I'll be done. I remember, I'm not in Louisiana this morning, I'm in Bowden. A lot of you say, I done heard all this. Well, it'll do you good to hear it again. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now listen to me. We have not a high priest cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Other words, God became flesh, walked through this world. And I don't care what anybody ever tells you, you always remember you're a man of God told you this. Christ could not sin. He was God and God cannot sin. He was tempted at all points like we are. He was tempted by the lust of the flesh. The devil put him on a pinnacle. He said, if you're God, said, just cast yourself down. Throw yourself down. If you're God, do that. I'll give you all these things. The devil was so crazy, he owned everything anyhow. Isn't that something? That's how low down the devil is, Brother Randy. If he'll come to Christ, don't you think he won't come to us? The pride of life. The rules of the flesh. He offered all that to Christ, but yet he never did sin. Now, this is what I want to get to. He walked through here as God-man. You know why? So God could put this verse in your Bible. We've not a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows what you're going through. He has felt it. The angels couldn't do that. Matter of fact, they know nothing about salvation. The Bible says that they look into it. They really don't understand. They know not a lot about it. They just realize that they've been ministering spirits for years and something happens to people and they're not near as busy as they used to be. Some of you will get that in a later date. But I'm telling you something. He knows how I feel. Watch this. Watch this right here. I like this word.
but was in all points tempted. Have you ever been tempted? All right, now I'm going to go a step further. You remember this, a temptation's always a visitation from sin. You remember that? A temptation's always a visitation from sin. When a temptation comes, it's a visit from sin. He's knocking on you. Now watch this. He said he was tempted in all points. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he never gave in to one temptation. Never. He was sinless, harmless, the Lamb of God. Now here it is, verse 16. I'm going to share one word with you. Might can change your life. If you'll apply it. Let us, His children. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what that word boldly means? It means saying it all. It means unreserved speech, good and bad. It means to be open and plain. You know what God's just waiting on some of us to do? Just to be honest with Him and quit hiding it. Come to the throne of grace and tell Him everything in our heart. He says, come boldly. I want you to tell me everything. He ain't wanting to hear from you, Lord, if I've sinned. No, 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 no. He's wanting to hear what you've done from you. He's wanting you to realize it. He's wanting you to realize what you got needed. Lord, I've got this need in my life. You know what? He's just waiting to hear from you. He knows all about it. But He wants you to be so open and so honest. He wants you to come boldly to the throne of grace. Look, there's assistance. He says this, that we may obtain mercy. Hey, if you're lost, come to Jesus. He'll give you mercy. If you're saved, find grace to help in time of need. What's that? Oh, we'll get more than we deserve. Miss Sherry, if you come. In all points tempted like as we are. But yet He stayed sinless. You know, it's no doubt to me that a congregation like this, there's a different group of people with different needs. Some, you need God to touch your heart, and you ought to have been coming up the aisle. You need God to give you direction with some things in your life. And some of you, you're here and you've never been saved by the grace of God. It'd be a good morning that you come to Jesus, the mediator between God and man. And you as a Christian, it'd do you good just to come boldly to Him and say, Lord, it's this away and I need this in my life. Because, Lord, I know that you feel where I am. Aren't you glad you've got a God that's alive and He can feel how you feel? He cares this morning. He loves us. Don't let nobody tell you He ain't a God of love because He loves. And there's a throne of grace and it's open to you this morning. Whatever you need in your life, He said, I'm going to tell you, I can help you live it by the Word. And I can help you live it by the grace of God. There's an altar you can come to. And He said, you know what? I got my ear leaned toward you right now. If you just tell me. I just want to hear it from you. He said, I can do something for you. Come get help this morning. As my sister plays, this altar's open. Whatever you need in your life, you come to.